Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, last week, our very own Mike Hawk brought us a story that is the most Kentucky story to ever Kentucky. And of all, the woman finding a drunk raccoon, performing CPR, and saving its life. Now, where did she find the drunk raccoon? She found it drowning in a dumpster. Now, to be fair, you never know what you're going to find in a dumpster in West Virginia. Security cameras, they caught the moment that a school principal was unlocking the dumpsters for the day and then took off running when a black bear climbed out. Surprise! In New Hampshire, a community came together to find a stuffed bear that was accidentally thrown away by a little girl's father. Now, we're not sure how long it took, but the stuffed animal was found. The same cannot be said for a guy in England. Now, in his case, his ex-girlfriend accidentally threw his key away. That was 11 years ago. And he's still looking for it. So why? Because the key in question is the key to his $700 million Bitcoin fortune. He's been looking for 11 years. $700 million. Turns out the Bitcoin keys aren't the only valuable things thrown in the trash. A Dutch museum accidentally threw out artwork from Andy Warhol. In Italy, a Picasso painting was found, that's right, in the garbage. And a woman in Vietnam, she dug through 11 tons of trash to find her $40,000 diamond ring. And look, we have countless stories about things that get lost and or found in the trash, including people. Because quite frankly, it happens all the time. And that's what we're talking about today. So today's question, brought to you by our friends at Advanced Hair Restoration, is intentional or not, what ended up in the trash?
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live. Send your emails to themensroom@KISW.com. And now watch the show live on YouTube at KISW Rock.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All the Charles, away we go. Welcome to the 20th anniversary season, episode number 4,398. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. Taryn Daly, Steve Migs from the Daily Migs Morning Show will join us once again. We're going to sit and spin. And today, we get into the world of Disney and soundtracks.
Oh, boy.
We're the top Disney soundtracks of all times. Now, Steve and myself did not necessarily grow up on Disney.
No, I did not.
I mean, Disney was one of those things back in the day. It was a Sunday evening Walt Disney World program. And they would show all kinds of movies and things like that. But for the most part, as far as Disney was concerned, if you wanted to see Disney, you had to go to the movie theater. Most of the Disney movies at that time, they were already out 20, 30 years before we were born. And they
we didn't get anything like that.
It wasn't like The Wizard of Oz, where they would show these on a regular basis on or yearly basis on TV. So you had either seen these movies or you had not. And then when we got into our 20s, Disney started pumping out the likes of The Lion King and The Little Mermaid and all these other movies that you know and love today. But we're going to try to figure out if we can determine from the soundtrack which Disney movie we are showcasing on Sit and Spin.
You both have daughters, though, so that should help.
It helped me along the way.
It might. You know, I mean, the only Disney movies I've watched, honestly, are with my daughter back in the day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I watched Bugs Bunny growing up. Yeah. So Looney Tunes was more my thing. Maybe a little bit more Hanna-Barbera oriented stuff. It was just the fact that, you know, in that non-on-demand world, you did not get a lot of Disney content.
Yeah, if you didn't go to the movies, you didn't see it.
I do remember watching Fantasia at the movie theater in college. They did that as a little thing for the for the students, you know, a couple times a year if you want to go and check that out.
I watched that in grade school.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen the whole thing. Like, I've seen
really?
Bits and, I mean, Disney just doesn't do it for me. I've seen bits and pieces, right, that they'll show anytime, you know, Mickey doing whatever the hell he's doing on a mountaintop or something. Yeah. And it looks mildly interesting, but it's never gotten me where I'm like, I need to watch that.
Because I would watch the original one.
How long is it? Is it?
I mean, it's Disney. It's probably 90 minutes.
Is it that long?
You got to watch the original one.
All right.
Because they've cut out some stuff.
Like a too scary kind of thing? Racist? Who knows?
No, kind of the opposite. Some of the...
like boobs and stuff like that?
Some of the unicorns are voluptuous.
No kidding.
Voluptuous unicorns. If that's not a band name, it needs to be.
I'm just saying, like, my friend, she makes a point of, like, her kids watch the original. And she's like, see, they cut this out. And I was like... Oh, yeah.
Even as a kid growing up in Morgantown, the university had a student center.
Yeah.
Student center had a pool hall. It had a bowling alley. It had a movie theater. It had a bar. It had a food court with like three or four different restaurants. So even if you weren't going to school there, you could still take advantage of the student union and all that stuff.
Is that the stamp union?
We would go bowling. They had an outdoor concert facility downtown.
Yeah, they had one at University of Maryland. When I was in high school, we loved going there.
Uh-huh. It's awesome. But they would do those types of movies where they would bring in the Fantasias of the world. Right. You knew why they were showing The Wall. You knew why they were showing, you know, the Rocky Horror Picture Show or Spinal Tap.
Fantasia is almost trippier than it is Disney.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Like, a lot of people won't show it to kids.
And they would cater to those students as far as knowing.
Yeah, know your audience,
and
man.
And, you know, that was the first time in my life where I ever went into a movie theater and you could take a beer in there. Because I know the bartender.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was when I was in college later on. But we thought that was the greatest thing in the world. If you could go to a movie theater. So anyway, we're going to cover the world of Disney soundtracks coming up at 4:30 on Sit and Spin. And I know, Mike, you could ace this test.
Yeah.
You know, probably, is there a Disney movie you have not seen?
Oh, there's plenty that I haven't seen.
That you feel that you need to. That's the difference.
No.
Have you watched any of the Apple Dumpling Gang? Or Herbie the Love Bug, or any of the live movies from back in the day?
Herbie the Love Bug, no. I watched when it came back around with Lindsay Lohan, but I never watched any of the old movies.
Right. Okay.
But
so those were the ones that I watched growing up. So as far as Disney is concerned.
The live action ones.
Yeah. Herbie, we watched Herbie a lot as a kid. Mm-hmm. Shenanigans of a VW Beetle.
Swiss Family Robinson, those types of
vaguely
movies.
Vaguely remember that.
And they still weren't.
Gidget? Was that Disney?
That was a TV show. I don't know if it's Disney inspired.
That sounds dirty as hell, doesn't it? Gidget?
Gidget.
Hey, man, did you see that Gidget?
Her name was Gidget.
I know
her name was Gidget.
There was a movie, too, right? I think Sally Field was Gidget.
She was, on the TV show, at least.
Sandra D was Gidget in the movie from
1959. Yeah, Sally Field was Gidget.
Gidget. And today, on to the question. We're going to talk about trash, intentional or not, what was in the trash. We will start with this one up in Canada. And we brought you the story a couple months ago. But a movie date for a Canadian couple, married 26 years, turned into a big, messy adventure after the wife's wedding rings ended up at the dump. Excuse me. Steve Van Yuzeldijk and his wife.
Yuzeldijk?
I mean, how would you say it?
Yuzeldijk?
Okay.
Y-S-S.
I'll go Yuzeldijk.
E-L-D-Y-K. I mean, give it your best, man.
Well, the E makes it dyke.
But there's no E on the... So,
that's what I'm saying. That would be dyke.
So Yuzeldijk.
It is. Yuzeldijk. Correct, yes. I believe so.
we're trying to pronounce the
I'm
man's
aware
name.
Of
it's,
that.
A, it's a name.
It starts with the YSS.
There's a lot of consonants.
It doesn't make it easy.
He and his wife, Janine, returned from the movie theater with a big old bag of popcorn.
Making it worse.
But accidentally,
we're just trying to get his name. How would you say it? Am I going to
I'm not even... I'm, no,
give
I'm
it
sure,
a try.
Go ahead.
Give
try.
It a try.
Sure, I would
no,
try.
Say
it the same way try. You guys are,
How
man.
Are you going to say it, then? Would you take his name if you're marrying him?
Nope. You see it?
Yeah, it's Steve Van Ezeldick.
Ezeldick. Oh, okay. Like an artist.
Yeah.
All right. Who paints naked.
Right.
Got you. Follow you. They came home from the movie theater with a big bag of popcorn, but accidentally spilled it in their garden. While cleaning up a buttery snack, Janine's rings apparently slid off and into the popcorn bag, which was then thrown into the compost bin. Now, when the couple realized what had happened the next day, the bin had already been collected. But Steve resolved to get the rings back, and even if it meant digging through the trash. My wife was very skeptical.
Because he paid for it.
I told her. I'll go to the dump tomorrow morning.
That's the thing. That engagement ring's got to be expensive.
Right. So as much as this story comes off like, oh, man, he loves his wife. I'm sure he does. That's not why he went looking for them. She would look for them if they mattered to her that much. He's like, do you know how much they cost? And I'm not trying to replace this ass. That is why he would look for them.
But he said, hey, I'm going to find these. Our wife was very skeptical. I told her, I'm going to the dump tomorrow morning, and I'm going to ask to search the facility. And she's like, man, sorry, I got a cold. They're not going to let you. And I was like, you never know. You got to try. Well, the landfill did agree to let him try.
What do they care? It's trash. How about it?
And a similarly skeptical worker, who meant he thought Steve had no chance and was crazy, even helped him by using an excavator. But Steve then turned out to be right, after recognizing sausages that had also been thrown out in the compost bin. He ended up finding both rings before his wife could even buy a metal detector to come to the site for help.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder why they threw out the sausages.
I don't know. You bring up a good point. Like, if I got sausage, I'm eating my sausage.
I think they probably opened them and they were bad, maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, that's the only thing I can think
of. Just, that story takes so many weird little twists and turns. It's right. Like, oh, there's our sausages. And there's the ring.
Yeah, rings must be close.
Perfect, perfect.
I lost a ring in snow once.
That's where I lost mine.
Throwing a snowball.
Yeah.
And it just flew off my, it was a class ring, and it flew off my hand. And I was doing door-to-door sales. And the next door I knocked on, we were talking about it, and the guy goes, did you lose it out there in the snow? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I got a metal detector. We found it in like 5 minutes.
No kidding. Nice. No kidding.
Right? Ah. The chances.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Random apartment in the middle of Laurel. And the guy's just, he's just one of those dudes that goes around the beach with a metal detector.
So I've lost two wedding rings. That went over real well.
Oh, of course.
The first one was, it was in the snow, and I was walking Chewy, and I got snow on my hands, so I shook my hands real quick.
The ring just flew
after
off.
I picked up a bag of crap, and it's gone. I mean, I don't know where it goes. So 2 days later, I find it.
All right.
That one I found. The other one was after a run. I was sweaty, and I was walking across the street, and I just heard ding, 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 ding. Now, this is across a four-lane street. I've got the crosswalk.
Yeah.
This thing's rolling. I don't see it. I do not know. So keep in mind, there's cars going both directions. I know which way it should have rolled.
Yeah.
But it sounded like it almost rolled behind me. But I don't know where it rolled.
Well, and it's a ring, so it could easily make that turn.
It could do whatever it wanted.
Yeah.
But it's also in the middle of a... So even to this day, when I walk across that intersection, I will look around, and that's the stupidest thing in the world.
Yeah, it's not there.
But I can't... This is 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I still look to see if I can find that ring. And also, there was a drain, grate...
Yep, that's probably where it went.
On that corner. A huge one that goes around...
Did you notice it as soon as it fell? Or did it take you a second?
I didn't notice it until I heard it go ding, 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 ding.
Because I've dropped
something
before. And then
I looked down and I'm like, oh my God, my wedding ring.
Yeah, I've dropped something before, heard the sound, and it didn't dawn on me. Just somebody's like, hey, you dropped that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, S.
Right, that's correct. Mine.
Correct.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was, it is never good trying to explain to your significant other why you're not wearing a wedding ring. Now, I don't know what made my wife at the time think that for some reason, as soon as that ring was not on my hand, that all the women... We're going to come out of the woodwork and find me attractive.
Yes, ladies, that's how it works.
For the first time in my life.
When you take a ring off, every woman you've ever wanted to come out. That's why it didn't happen before we met you.
Thank God. Thank God he's not wearing that wedding ring anymore.
Now I'm going to hit on him.
Yeah, that said no one ever.
Ever.
So I understand that you're upset with me. This time around, though, I'm not buying a $500 ring.
No.
I'm buying a $100 ring on Amazon, and that's what I'm going to wear. It was the best ring I'd had out of them all. And I actually still have that ring.
Really?
I don't need it.
All right.
But I still have it. But yes. That was...
And if you want women to hit on you, put on your wedding
ring. Put on the... Yeah.
Yeah. And walk a puppy. Like, yeah. These two things, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Larry Bird, we know him. Legendary Boston Celtic. He accidentally threw away the last game ball from Boston Garden. Now, it was meant to be a keepsake, a relic from one of basketball's most iconic arenas. Instead, it ended up soaked in snow and dumped in the trash by accident and forgotten. He'd taken home the last game ball, used it at the Garden. Before he could preserve it as a memento, it disappeared right under his roof. Now, according to the three-time NBA champion, his wife, unaware of the ball's significance, gave it to their kids. Now, the kids, being kids, took it outside, played with their friends, left it in the snow. The elements did the rest. So Bird did what most people do. He threw it away. Now, when a memorabilia collector came to ask him about the ball, it hit Larry what he had actually lost. What was supposed to be a lasting tribute to the Garden's legacy became an afterthought and a family yard game, a symbol of Celtic's history, lost to time and weather. He said, really, please don't tell anybody the story because it's pretty historic. The last ball of the Boston Garden, and I guess ended up throwing it in the trash. I did that. The Indiana native brought the ball home after the Celtics played the Knicks in what would be the final game at the Garden. He'd made arrangements with a friend still working in the organization to give him the ball once the buzzer sounded. He wanted it. The whole day had been laced with all kinds of nostalgia. Bill Russell, other Celtics legends had returned at halftime. The ball was passed hand to hand through the legends before it finally reached Larry Bird. All the Celtics greats.
And he specifically asked for this.
The symbolism, he said, was pure. The old Garden, the cracked floors, the wooden bleachers, the smoke-stained rafters. It was a shrine. Bird knew what the moment meant. That ball was a memory in physical form. So he took it home. Now, the demolition of the Boston Garden was the fading of an era. That joint was built in 1928. Garden hosted 16 NBA championships, 24 All-Star appearances, an unmatched stretch of sports history. Its floor became as iconic as the jerseys worn on top of it. But needless to say, the last ball that ever bounced in a game at the Boston Garden, his kids took out in the snow and basically weathered it and lost.
Oh, yeah.
Or he threw it away.
That's wild.
And especially when you specifically asked for this. You know, you went to the guy and said, hey, at the end of this game, right, make sure I get this. The difference is, well, Larry Bird, I don't feel that bad. Like, yeah, dude, you lost something good. But also, you do have three championship rings. You're in the Hall of Fame, right? You got money. Like, there's so many things. If it had just been the average Joe, like, Ted, if you said, I managed to get this ball and you lost it, I'd feel bad for it.
Right.
Correct. Like, Larry, I think that's more of a frustration.
Oh, sure.
Just like, how did my kids do this?
Well, again, they said the wife handed it to them. The kids wanted to play basketball. She sees a basketball.
Mm-hmm.
She handed it. I would just feel like, dude, if the basketball carries that kind of nostalgia, why is it any place where the wife might mistake it?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. Was it sitting in the garage next to other basketballs?
So that's the issue, right?
Was it sitting in the basement next to another? Like, dude, that thing would be, even if I haven't gotten, you know, I don't know, mounted yet or whatever you do it, it is somewhere safe.
Well, there's a story today about the University of Connecticut, UConn, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have so many championships in basketball between men's and women's that they just keep the, they have all these other trophies too, but like they're using one of the trophies as a doorstop.
Damn. Okay,
right? So it doesn't, like, for Larry Bird, you're right. He might have had this thing, and it was just sitting somewhere in a box. Like, I don't know. Sometimes you have something that's important to you, but when it's in your house, you're like, I got to get a case for it.
Right.
I mean, hell, me and my brother had the flag for my dad's funeral for a few months before. We were like, all right, we got to buy a case.
Right.
That flag's just sitting there, folded.
When my mom moved out of the house we grew up in, four-bedroom home, so when my sister, my youngest sister, went to college, it is my mom in this house by herself. And the house is huge. And my mom is one of those people who has piles of stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
So nothing is ever really organized. It's organized in piles. She knows where she knows what they are.
Yeah.
She will get to it one day. She never gets to it any days. Baskets of stuff and everything else. So my room, my brother's room, and my sister's room, after we moved out, it basically stayed as if we had passed on.
Right, and are preserving it.
And the parents just wanted to have that memory of walking into the room and remembering their child.
Yeah.
It had not been touched. Nothing had happened.
So when my mom decided to move out, at the time I was living in Baltimore, and I said, Mom, I'm going to try to get back. She sold the house faster than she thought she was going to.
All right.
So now she's in panic mode. So basically they've got a dumpster in front of the house on the driveway. They fill one dumpster up.
Yep.
They take that to the dump. They bring another dumpster. They still haven't gotten into the bedrooms yet. They are just throwing away the crap that my mom has hoarded in that house.
Yeah.
Honest to God. So she says, is there anything that you want? And I said, there are some books that I definitely want to go in there and get and look through and make that determination.
Because they have your money in there.
They have baseball cards. They have basketball cards. They have football cards. I had a Bobby Orr hockey card in there.
Flying Man.
I had Willie Mays. I had Mickey Mantle. I had Roberto Clemente. I had, basically all of the 1971 Topps black set with all these rookies.
Like yeah.
Pete Rose, Tom Seaver, you name it. They're all in this. They're all in books. And I hid money in there. I hid everything I had in books. So she thought I wanted to save books that she thought would mean something to me. So she took all my Hardy Boys books. And she threw them away. Because she knew that I was not going to read the Hardy Boys books.
Yep.
That's not why I wanted to look through the books. The reason I wanted to look through the books is it's got money in it. It's got keepsakes in there. I hid everything in those books. So everything that she threw away was the books where I hid all my stuff. I had at least, I know for a fact, at least $1,000 cash.
Oh, no.
Did you tell her?
I did not tell her what was in the books.
Right.
Because the last thing I want, I just didn't want her to know. Like I had an emergency fund of $1,000 that I had saved, basically my whole life growing up, from cutting grass to everything else. When I went to college, I determined I was going to live off what I could make and just do it.
Yeah.
And if the S ever hit the fan, which was like a transmission going bad on my car or something to that level where like you need $1,000 to either maybe even buy a total vehicle. I had $1,000. Not only that, but baseball cards were valuable then. I could have taken those cards in and got, a third of their value or whatever the hell is to, a couple of different baseball card shops and walked out with cash. All of that crap was thrown away. Every single
thing. And you didn't tell her.
I didn't want her to make her feel bad because, I don't think she knew.
Well, she didn't know. You can't really blame her.
Well, she asked me
But you guys are making assumptions. There's also the possibility that she made $100, collected some baseball cards, and then threw out the Hardy Boys book.
So every,
and you didn't bring it up, so she's like, okay.
So I had, every year for Christmas, I would get savings bonds. I had two relatives, two grandfathers, that would give me savings bonds every year.
Yeah.
$100, $50, basically.
All right.
If you have a $100 savings bond, someone paid $50 for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take 5 to 10 years for that to mature. Where did those go? They went in those books.
Oh.
So all that stuff that I had.
The bonds are the real ones, too, man. Because by the time
they mature.
You get thousands of dollars.
Exactly. Yeah. Our question, intentional or not, what was in the trash? 206-803-ROCK.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Men's room, now live for your viewing pleasure on YouTube. Check out the show, KISW Rock. When you get there, please subscribe to us. We've almost reached 2,000 subscribers in just a week, in a couple days.
Is that good or bad?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the metric. I just know that. It seems to me that people are enjoying checking out the feed and watching us do the show.
I had a meeting with Ryan Castle last Thursday, and he said that our corporate overlords gave us the thumbs up. That is a good city clip.
Speaking of the thumbs up, smash the like burger there, the thumbs up for us. Good subscribe at KISWROCK in the USA.
Now that we are on YouTube. Okay, when people throw things away, they throw them away in a lot of different locations, or they end up in different locations. Mm-hmm. So you have a trash can at home. There's dumpsters around the neighborhood. There is a landfill someplace. There are junkyards. Now, when I was a kid, one of the best things that we could do as far as having a good time and doing a little exploring, and I know it sounds crazy, is we would go to the junkyard.
That sounds awesome.
Now, the junkyard was on about a 3-acre plot of land on a hillside.
Yeah.
There's no way you can fence this place in. It is just a big open air lot.
Sure.
The guy who owned the place, he was a decent guy. He knew all of us kids. As a matter of fact, he built basically a dirt track racing course.
Oh, nice.
Through the junkyard so that you could kind of get in there, man, and tear up a hill and go around a burn. And he had all these cars from all the. And to be honest with you, for the first 3 years of my life when I owned a car, if I could, I would go and get the part from the junkyard and pull it every time. Even if I didn't know how to put it back in, I'd find someone else to
money,
do it, but I knew how to pull it out. So it gives you a pretty good idea how to put it back in. But we would go up and we would do junkyard exploring. And I know this sounds stupid, but maybe one of my friends named Joel found a loaded handgun underneath one of the seats in the cars. You have to remember, all these cars are open.
Yeah.
You can get inside the car. You can pop the trunk. You can do whatever you want. You can pop the hood. Now, during the daylight hours, that's one thing. We would go at night. This guy, he didn't care. It was such a big piece of property. You could sneak on with flashlights. We weren't pulling transmissions out of these cars.
Right, right, right.
We were just kind of digging through the glove compartments.
Yeah, being kids.
The ashtrays were full of change. You would be surprised how many badass, because when a car is totaled, a lot of times people will go do a quick look through the car, grab what they need. Other than that, the car's done.
Yeah.
And it's on its last leg, and it's dead. It's kind of like your Topaz. You caught on fire, it's done. You might have forgotten that there's stuff underneath the seats.
Probably. There was probably stuff in the trunk. I just wanted that thing gone.
We used to find, there was a brand, there was a brand of sunglasses called Oakleys.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, they were kind of expensive. And they were like the custom design.
Yeah.
They were just an 80s thing. But we found at least three pairs of really nice sunglasses just on, you know, the
visor thing.
The visors up top. Tons of cash. I mean, just different things that we found flasks full of alcohol.
Oh, of course.
Underneath the seats of cars. You get into the trunk and people had like full tool kits, like in bags with flares.
Yeah.
All the emergency stuff that they didn't take, you know, atlases, road maps. We would walk out of there with literally like a trash bag full. And the best thing was the golden ticket then was we used to sell used radar detectors. So you did pornography, we did radar detectors. And they didn't always work. And there was like, there's a Y band and a Z band.
Sure, but
they
whatever.
Were older than not. But we would get those too. And we would sell those to our friends because that was the must have
at that time that for sure. Yeah.
Any aftermarket radios that were still in those cars, we would pull out. Like if we saw a Blaupunkt in a Volkswagen, we would take the speakers out because the speakers were really good.
Yeah.
We would gut the car of all the good stuff. And someone had just thrown all that crap away. I mean, essentially, by being in the yard.
I mean, look, if you're a kid, trash, before I started selling porn, the first time I was able to collect, because it's all magazines back then, right? And obviously your parents aren't going to buy them for you. And it was few and far between that anyone could get their hands on one of their dads and to make it public, blah, blah, blah. But couple that lived across the street, they got divorced. She got the house. So she was throwing all of his crap out, including clothes and all that. But my brother and I was probably 10, so that makes him about 15. His clothes meant nothing to us. I remember my brother got a motorcycle helmet, which was good because at the time he had a motorcycle. But just, I mean, stacks upon stacks of Playboy magazines. All right, so she'd put all this crap out front. It's on the curb. And I got word from my brother because he got off the school bus and he's like, hey, he would rarely come to my room as soon as he got home from school, but like knocks on my door. He's like, Steven, you need to come with me outside. I'm like, for what? He's like, you need to come with me. I'm like, fine, man. So the thing was, he said, grab a paper bag. I'm like, all right. So we grab a paper bag. Keep in mind, my mother's in the kitchen. And the way the house is set up, we kind of lived out in the woods at that time. So from the kitchen, you had a clear view of the driveway, but the driveway had a bit of a turn at the end, and it disappeared behind the trees. So you couldn't see the street, but you could see most of the driveway. So I guess, as I don't remember this part. She says that we told her we were collecting pine cones for her. Whatever. But either way, we both had a bag. We disappeared. And when I got there, and just, I mean, I cannot explain how many Playboys were there. Like, decades of this crap that this dude had, all in order, that kind of thing. And we were like, we've hit the gold mine. So we're loading up a paper bag full of Playboys. Well, it occurred to us, we can't nearly fit all these Playboys in these two bags, but our goal is to get every single Playboy.
Every single one.
Every freaking one of them. So we'd kind of wander back toward the house, put the bags around the bag, and then we went back into the kitchen, and we grabbed like two more bags each. And as my mother says it, she's like, you guys are still getting more pine cones. Keep in mind, it's upstate New York. There's pine trees everywhere. Like, pine cones are not a hot commodity. It's like a squirrel. They're freaking everywhere. But she thinks we're working on some cute project for her or something. Cool. And she's like, I kept watching you guys disappear down the driveway, and we would load it up. We did eventually get every single magazine that was out there. It's probably 12 bags worth. Put them around the back. We go to the back door from the inside. We each just take 6 bags, just random, and each disappear in our rooms. And as you can guess, we masturbated like rabid monkeys, right? That was our thing. That was over the weekend. No big deal. The following Monday, go to school. When I get home from school Monday afternoon, my mom is pissed, and she's waiting for me, kind of thing. And I'm like, what's up? And I'm going through my Rolodex of things I may have done. I'm like, I haven't done anything. What's going on? And she just points at my closet. In my closet at this point, because as a kid, you don't realize your parents will open your closet.
Bam.
There's just stacks of Playboys. And she's like, where did you get all of these from? And I'm like, whatever her face was across the street, man. Like, she was throwing them out. My mother, you need to get rid of every single one. And it was a bad scene.
Did your dad step in and say, I'll take care of this?
The way my mother says this, all right, she said that she'd called my father at work because she's freaking out. Because my two little boys, they're looking at booze. And my dad's like, what is the problem? And she's like, well, they have all these Playboys. He goes, they're healthy young men. He's like, don't make a scene about it. She did not listen to that. She made a big deal about it. Then she confronts my brother. We both had to throw out the magazines. We didn't, but we had her convinced that we did. We just had some friends sit on them. But as far as going through trash, that for me was absolutely the greatest thing ever. And I will never forget that day. My mother still laughs about it now. And I'm like, Mom, you don't understand. When you're 10 years old, and I mean, like, in my mind, it's just a mountain of Playboys. And they didn't even show anything below the waist back then.
Well, the older ones didn't.
Yeah, it was just, well, this guy, his started early and got to maybe 78 or whatever it was.
You do get to see one thing from a historical standpoint.
The shape of boobs.
Is the evolution of the shape of breasts.
Yeah. They were all torpedo.
You cannot believe what bras used to do. And remember, Playboy is still, you know, 18 to 25 to 30-year-old women at that time.
Yeah.
They did have Marilyn Monroe. She was one of the older centerfolds.
Like the famous actresses that are due to be older, but generally.
But they were famous actresses.
Yeah. So you know, these are not women.
Vanna White.
These are not women who gravity has really taken effect yet.
Mm-hmm.
But just the shape based on how bras were designed.
But it's every woman's boobs.
I'm going to assume that was the culprit. I don't know.
It had to be.
That's the only thing that I can logically.
I mean, they were like torpedo, but they weren't hanging down. I mean, they were straight out.
My grandma, her bra had like 9 hoops on it.
On the back.
To lock in. Because, I mean, it was just like,
It needed it.
It was trying to lift this house up.
Yeah.
I mean, it needed all the support it could get.
So yeah.
When you saw the bras that the women were wearing, I mean, the strap was 6 inches thick.
Yeah, the Sears catalog. And it didn't matter. They were the unsexiest bras ever. But as a kid, that Sears catalog came, you flip to that page and you're like, oh, yeah.
That was one of the, you know, like.
You got to steal that stuff. I mean, I remember my mom one day just being pissed because it's like Sunday morning or whatever. She's cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
And her screaming, because my mom just wasn't a big yeller.
Yeah.
But her just screaming at my dad. My God. So finally I said to my brother, what happened? He goes, all right, she found dad's like nudie mags. And I was like, all right. And then my mom wasn't going to say what it was, but I paid enough attention. And same thing that night before I went to bed, it was like 9 p.m. I snuck out the back door, went to the garbage can, found the trash bag, ripped it open, took out the 3 magazines. And then I think I took them to school, and then we had a spot kind of like around the corner.
Yeah.
Like there was just enough woods where we kept them there.
Okay. You know, it's weird. Only at that age did you share porn with people, like, at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. 8 kids are all looking at, you know, some naked chick. Like, now it's like, nah, dude. I need a little alone time.
I hate to admit this, but this is the honest God truth. So, my buddy Jeff, he was an accident. He was not supposed to be born.
Right.
His parents were, like, grandparent age
when we were growing up. And his mom was a little bit of a larger woman, but not real big. I mean, Jean was, she was shapely.
Big enough for you to mention.
She was shapely, yeah. All right? As far as her chest goes, too. So his next brother up, Bill, was at least 12 years older than Jeff. To give you an idea of how big of an accident he was. But Bill was legendary, all right? He was one of these guys who would sneak you the beers. He was one of those guys who would just take you for a ride if you wanted to go to the mall.
Sure, sure.
He took care of you. He was the guy, like, he's still in jail, by the way.
That's like up to no good.
He's in jail to this day. Last time I talked to Jeff, he's in jail for something else. But this is what he said. He goes, look, he goes, let me give you guys a little secret. And he talked like, you know, like an Italian from West Virginia. Let me tell you guys a little secret. Here's what you do, all right? Okay, when your mom's not around, I want you to go into her room. I want you guys to put on her bra, right? And I want you, I want you to put on her bra, and then I want you to hug around Jeff or Miles, and you're going to learn how to take that bra off. Because there was so many straps on it, right? All this stuff. He's like, so I'm going to teach you guys how to, so when it's time, you can get this bra off. And so, we, honest to God, when his mom and dad weren't there, yes, we put on Jeff's mom's bra, all right? And we strapped it all in. He's like, all right, now, you don't hug me too much, man, but you got to get around in there, right, man. You got to get the strap off. So we used to practice just in case. Just in case we were ever in a situation where some woman wanted us to take that thing off and we were kissing him, that we would be able to do it. And I swear to God we did that. At least just like half an hour. But like, I got it, man.
How
just
old were you?
Quick snap. 12.
Yeah.
13.
That, yeah.
We weren't even going to see a naked woman for years.
Right.
Years. But you know what? Damn it. We were ready. Just in case. Because that's how thick that crap
was. Oh, yeah.
It's like, you got to learn how to get that off, man.
There was somebody in my high school that had like a, I don't know where they found it, but it was like a children's book, but it was adult themed.
All right.
So it had a fake strap around the back of the book. So we would like test each other. Same thing. How quickly can you get it off?
Yeah,
my buddy's with one hand.
Yeah, my buddy's like, I can snap that thing off. I'm like, no, you can't. But we didn't realize that the younger women's bras weren't that thick.
Right.
We're working on like the heavy duty stuff, man. But we didn't realize it was just going to be this maybe two little hooks.
Yeah.
Later on in
hopefully.
Life. Yeah, like just snap that thing right off. Intentional or not, what was in the trash? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Ken. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello, Ken.
Ken?
Hello, Ken.
Oh, come on.
Ken, are you there?
Sounds like he's there.
He is.
Ken?
Come on, Ken.
No, come on, Ken.
Oh, Christ. All right. Well,
Ken's with Barbie.
Maybe it's the phone.
Ken's with Barbie. No penis, nothing. Just flat. Right to there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That
was it not Ken?
Were we on the wrong line?
It was, but then his number started calling on a different line, so Ken might have some issues. Here, hang.
Ken!
Hello.
Hey. Hola.
Now we got you.
Hola.
Hola.
So back in the late 90s, one of my supervisors went to the last game at the Detroit Silver Dome before it got imploded. And for me being his favorite worker, he gave me two of the towels, game used with the field dirt on them. So I had them in my truck for a couple days, and one of them had a little bit of coffee on it. I brought them home and put them on the kitchen counter, and I hadn't told my wife. Went, took a shower, came out, she says, oh, them dirty towels of yours I threw in the washer with everything else. So all the dirt, all the actual field was gone off of them.
Well, they had to bring. Well, you know, one thing you need to know. Those towels weren't from the Silver Dome because that was an AstroTurf field. So they were from the last game they played before that thing imploded.
Right.
If you look now, though, at a video of that, if it's still standing, it is one of the creepiest things you've ever seen in your
What's
life.
What's that?
The Pontiac Silver Dome.
Didn't they take it down? Well, or is it still there?
It was
there for a while, and then remember, it never had a permanent roof, right?
Yeah, it's like a bubble. So I think over the years, the snow and stuff.
So kind of just kind of deflated.
Kind of what happened in Tampa at the Devil Ray Stadium.
Yeah.
Basically slowly deteriorated in the same way as it did in Pontiac. But they took a drone through there. You know, when drones are first
turned right.
And you're like, whoa, this thing is... It's
just creepy and ugly and
horrible. Yeah, it looked like a jungle like inside of this. It was just bizarre. Intentional or not, what was in the trash? 206-803-ROCK.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.